Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 33 of the Allie on the Run show. I'm your host, Allie Feller, and today's guest really needs no introduction. Today, I am so excited to share my conversation with Natalie Morales. Natalie is, of course, best known as an anchor on the Today Show, where she's currently the show's West Coast anchor, as well as one of the hosts of Access Hollywood. She's covered everything from the Olympics to events like September 11th, Hurricane Katrina, and way too many mass shootings. I asked her what her favorite news story ever was during her time at Today, and she had a great answer, so listen in for that. Many Today Show fans, myself most definitely included, were super sad when Natalie decided to leave the show last year in favor of a warmer, sunnier lifestyle in LA and at Access Hollywood. And on this episode, she talks about why she made that move. She also talks about growing up in an Air Force family and what it was like moving around all the time. Before moving to California, Natalie was a Jersey girl, just like me. She went to Rutgers University and then lived in Hoboken for many years, so she ran on the same waterfront path I run on every day. Because yes, in addition to having a very demanding job and being a mother of two boys, Natalie is also a tough-as-nails athlete. She boasts a 3:31 marathon PR, which was good enough to get her qualified for the Boston Marathon, and she's a triathlete. Natalie has been a major inspiration of mine over the years, so it was an honor and a pleasure to have her on the show and to get to record in person at the Access Hollywood Studios while she was in New York City visiting. Now you've heard enough from me. Go ahead and enjoy my conversation with Natalie Morales. You ready?
Yes, ready.
Okay, so we are coming to you from 30 Rockefeller Plaza, which is very exciting. Today we are talking to Natalie Morales. Welcome to the Allie on the Run show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So we start with a warm-up.
Yes.
Because this, of course, is running themed. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
All right. I am the Access Hollywood host and also anchor, West Coast-based anchor for the Today Show still.
Very casual title.
Very casual. But it's been a lot of fun because I, you know, I, as you all know, you've seen me do the news and an anchor for the Today Show. But now I've sort of moved my act out west and get a chance to try new things and doing a lot of, you know, Hollywood and celebrity stuff. So it's been really great. It's kind of a change of pace.
Yeah. So let's go back in time. I want to know, when you were young, Natalie, were you like, my goal is to be an anchor on the Today Show?
I would say that occurred to me when I was in college. Prior to that, I wanted to be a veterinarian, love animals. And I went to college thinking that's what I was going to do. Until I realized how much math and science and how many years of schooling that would involve. And also the idea of, you know, seeing animals being abused and all that just kind of broke my heart a little bit. I didn't think I could handle it. But All along, I had a couple of teachers who sort of guided me and influenced me. I've always been a writer. I've always been one of those people that, you know, I've lived all over the world. So I think whenever I tell stories, it's using examples of things that I've experienced or, you know, having been and experienced other cultures. So I think people are always like, well, you should think about maybe a career in journalism since you love to travel, you love to meet people and tell stories. And one teacher in particular told me this in eighth grade, and I'll never forget. He was like, you could easily be like an anchor somewhere. And I was like, really? No. What? And then I was like, wait a minute. Then it occurred to me in college after struggling through organic chemistry. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should go back to that. And so then I figured it out and figured out that it was always a passion of mine, and it just, you know, took finding the right college courses, and I realized I'm onto something. I really love this.
And it's worth noting, because you brought up veterinarian, that Natalie also has a rescue dog.
I do. So. My border collie, Zara, who I fell in love with on the Today Show during a segment, and I pretty much adopted her on the spot.
You did?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was, I want to say, it's 5 years ago. So, yeah, she is my little running buddy now. Yeah, 2012, September.
Oh, well, congratulations. Yes. Anyone who listens to the show knows I'm obsessed with not just dogs, but rescue dogs specifically.
They're grateful. There's truth to that. They
love
know.
It so much. So you mentioned that your teacher said you could be an anchor.
Yeah.
What exactly does that entail? Having now done it.
Yes.
And I want more of the nitty-gritty on how you made it happen. But for someone who wants to be an anchor, what are the most important qualities?
Well, I think it's curiosity and having a natural, you know, curiosity about how things work, about life, about people, being a great listener. I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, I can write, I can, you know, I can present, I can, but it's not. It's really, really listening with your heart, really paying attention to what people are telling you and following up. And it also takes that ability to sort of a tenacity, an ability to chase things down, because you're not going to get straight answers most of the time. So I think you do have to be that kind of person who you're not afraid to butt heads every now and again, not afraid to ask a dumb question, and not afraid in general, because I think, you know, especially nowadays in the days of social media, it's easy to be intimidated as a reporter or journalist. It's very easy to, you know, for the critics to launch an all-out war on you, and you just got to have a thick skin.
Yeah, so how do you handle that? Because I think that's something everyone can relate to, whether it's just, whether you have 300 followers on Instagram, and it's like 299 of them could tell you how great that photo is, but the one that doesn't like it
is... And that's the one that hurts you most.
Yeah, so how do you handle that?
It's so funny, because I guess I am so lucky that I kind of cut my teeth and did all the stuff that I needed to do to learn my trade or my craft before social media, because if I were starting out now, I think it would be so intimidating. That said, I mean, you know, I drown people out. I've learned to kind of ignore, you know, the 5% out there who have to be negative or hateful. And I embrace those who give constructive criticism, but I also don't think there's a place for hate. And, you know, anytime I feel like somebody's hurtful or hateful, I delete them.
Yeah,
I stop letting them follow me.
I love it. Have you ever been on an assignment? Have you ever been scared?
I would say, you know, it takes a lot to frighten me, I think, in that kind of way. If I feel like I'm being in a threatening situation. I don't think I've ever, fortunately, I have never been in a war zone in that capacity. You know, I don't think I've been frightened in that way. I think in other ways, sometimes you know, if you're near somebody who, you know, you're at in an environment where you're reporting with, you know, there's, you know, police brutality or whatever. I think we've all been there. We've covered protests and stuff where sometimes it gets a little heated. And I think that's where you're like, am I safe? Mm-hmm. But I've never felt insecure, like about my well-being. I've always been very careful, I guess, because I have lived all over the world. And I also know not to put myself in situations where it could be dangerous or sketchy.
Yeah. So tell me, where'd you grow up?
I grew up, I was born in Taiwan. My dad was stationed there during the Vietnam War. So from there, we went to the United States for like 6 or 7 months, from California, then to Panama, McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey, Brazil, Spain for 5 years. From 12 years old to 17, I was in Spain. So that's sort of my formative years. And then I moved back my senior year to Dover, Delaware to graduate high school. So, which was a complete shock to the system, going from Madrid, Spain to Dover, Delaware.
Which is more glamorous?
I think we all know the answer there. And then, which has better tapas? Yeah, we know the answer.
And then you went to Rutgers, correct?
I went to Rutgers,
Yay, New Jersey.
Yeah, my dad went to Rutgers too. So it's in the family.
I love it. And you were a journalism major?
Journalism major, yeah.
Okay, so at that point you were like, this is the route I'm going.
Yes.
And tell me how you made it happen.
You know, it's the great thing about Rutgers is because of the proximity to New York, there's so many great opportunities to have internships and all of that. And that was sort of a draw of the journalism program, because a lot of times it's one thing to go to J school and to not get really any real world experience. But I had the opportunity to internships in New York, in Secaucus, New Jersey at Channel 9 when I was in the journalism program. So, and just, you know, having sort of that real world opportunity to make sure that this is exactly what I wanted. And I think that's where I knew it's one thing to, you know, to study it. But then when you're actually, I remember I was at Channel 9 with the investigative team when the first World Trade Center bombing happened in 1993. And so then I was working the phones, trying to call people in the building. And, you know, that's when I knew, when that adrenaline, that rush, I was like, I'm in this for the right reasons, like wanting to get somebody in that building to talk to us live on the air, wanting to, you know, figure out what was going on. I felt in the heat of the moment. It was, you know, this is exactly what I was made to do.
And then were you at Today during the attacks of 2001?
No, 2001, I was actually working in Connecticut, Hartford. I was the morning anchor there. And it's, you know, when it happened, we were getting ready to do a morning local news cut-in, and I just remember we were sitting on set and then seeing, you know, as the Today Show continued to go live, they weren't taking any cut-ins at that point, obviously, and just watching the coverage unfold. And then that afternoon, I was down in Greenwich, Connecticut, shooting a lot of stuff, because at that point we were already starting to get a sense of, you know, sort of the tragic loss of life and a lot of people from Greenwich. And then the next day we reported from New York City. So it was just, yeah, so it was crazy. But I remember because my husband was working in the city at the time, and I'm watching all of it happen. And then I got on the phone, I'm talking to my husband, I'm like, I don't know. And this is, I didn't really have a cell phone at that point in time yet, even though we didn't really have cell phones. And just calling my husband from a landline and getting hold of him, like, you know, you got to get out of the city, something's going on. It's one of those days you will never, ever forget. I mean, you know, where you were when it happened, mm-hmm. and being in the business, you know, it just wanting to do more than I could possibly do, being in Connecticut and feeling like I got to come in here for the story.
You know? So how do you do that? Because you've been at, you know, at various jobs, including mm-hmm. today, during a lot of really big, scary world events. I think of Newtown. I think of, you know, of course, September 11th. How do you find the balance between I have to buckle down and do my job and I'm a human?
Yeah. You know, I think the great thing is I have such a great support system with my husband and, you know, our babysitter, that I knew, for example, during Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy, living in Hoboken, we were a direct threat for flooding. And in fact, the town flooded, as you know, living in West New York. And I actually run the same paths as you. That whole area of West New York the day before was already preparing. And so I knew what was coming, but it was also like, I got to make sure my family is okay. So I stayed in the city the night of the storm. My family was home, and up until, you know, as late as we could, we were talking on the phone, and I knew they would be okay. Unfortunately, we didn't have any issues with our house. We just lost power like everybody else for a week. But the very next day, it was like I did my job on the air. I was reporting down from Battery Park City, then got in a big SUV so I could go across the tunnel and get home to make sure everybody there was okay. So, I think it's, you know, you do your job. You do what you have to do. And at that point in time, that's the most important thing, is telling people and communicating with people, like, what's going on. And also knowing, because I came from that area and knowing my ins and outs, like, it was important. Then we got in a helicopter and reporting on the damage. And I was over Hoboken looking down the next day and seeing all the streets flooding.
There's my family.
Being able to, like, know where everything was.
Swimming down the street.
No, they're great. They were great. I was lucky.
What is the, looking back on your career so far, what stands out as some of the biggest or kind of most impactful to you stories?
Well, I think the stories where, when it comes down to, like, you know, great storytelling and being able to really put people in the moment. And that's what I really love being able to do. And also, perhaps, I mean, a story with a happy ending was the Chilean miners. And I spent, you know, like 2 weeks down there before the rescue, then came back for the last like 10 days of the rescue. And I mean, it was like being on the set of a movie, but this was real life. I mean, the people that I was meeting, the families who were there in that camp for 67 days, and how they kind of made family with everybody else. You know, they were united in that, like, in the outcome of what was, you know, hopefully going to be a happy ending. And fortunately, it was. But it was just that story to this day goes down as, I think, that 24-hour stretch when they were bringing up the miners. Oh. It was the most, I mean, I get goosebumps whenever I think of it. And it's one of those times where, because it was also, you know, I speak Spanish, and, you know, I'm Latin America, South American, I'm Brazilian and Puerto Rican. So, you know, having a little bit of that connection, I feel like being able to tell their story, being an interpreter as well, because at one point when the Chilean president gave a speech, MSNBC took it live, and they were like, oh, wait, we don't have a translator. So I'm like, I'm translating as we're doing it. So so it was truly one of those moments where, like, I was it was supposed to be there, that especially during that rescue operation. It was amazing.
Yeah, and then the one Minor ran the marathon.
I know.
Because he was training down there. That was incredible.
Yes.
Okay, so then how did you end up becoming an anchor at the Today Show? Because that is like, even me, I never really wanted to go into TV, but I still got that. I'm like, that's the dream job.
Well,
like,
and I never, ever even thought it a possibility. Never even was in my realm of... I was happy doing local news in Connecticut. I was the morning anchor. I felt like I was, you know, I loved my life there. And we had, you know, bought our first house. And then MSNBC took some interest in me, and they were expanding. This was after 9/11, and they needed to launch their weekend programming. They wanted to have anchors on all the time. And so they came calling, and lucky for me, I got the job. And from MSNBC, I started filling in on the Weekend Today Show, and they liked me there. And then they started putting me in. You know, I guess I was sort of always on the bench, and then they just kept putting me in. And every time I guess I just made more and more fans. And I don't know. I don't know how it happened, to be honest, but it was one of those things. It's like I pinch myself when I think about it still. But I think it's just having the right group of people around you and also working your butt off. I worked really hard. I mean, you know, I've been a morning anchor, I want to say, all 20 of my years in the business. So I think for the very first time now, I'm actually getting a little more sleep than normal.
Are you naturally a morning person?
I think I am.
Okay.
I'm one of those people, I like to get my job done, and then I like to be home when my kids are home. So it actually, for a working mom, there's no better job. I mean, you get an opportunity, although you're always sort of on call, but there is no better job than that, because... You know, while you're in it, you're 100%, you're focused. But then when you get home, you can be a good parent. And, you know, the energy of the show, too, helps you, I think, you know, be an energetic parent.
Yeah. Is it stressful being on doing live television? I mean, you've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm sure you're like, no, it's just what I do. But to watch or to be on the sidelines, to, you know, seeing what goes on, it's everything is so fast. Is that
you
pressure
never
or
let
do
the
you like
stress
it?
Show. Never let the, actually, it makes you better. The pressure makes you better. I always think, like, the things that I'm most worried about, or if I can't sleep because I've got a huge interview the next day, and believe me, there are plenty of opportunities where we're like that. We get just as nervous as anybody, no matter how many years we've done it. If you've got a big interview or something coming, then you're not sleeping, or you're always thinking about it. But I think that makes you really prepared in the moment. Like, I was always one of those people that the more I thought about how I was going to do things, if I planned out what I was going to say, or that made me better.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like
flying without the laptop. It's like much better and need to prepare. You mentioned being nervous before a big interview. Do any stand out over your time where you're like, ooh, that was a big one, or that one I was nervous about?
You know, I think over the years, like, well, I think there have been times where, like, where I've been a little tongue-tied. If it was Clooney or if it was Sting or, you know, but I think in terms of like big interviews that I was nervous about, I'd have to say it probably would be during the election and interviewing some of the politicians, just because it's not something I do a lot. It's not my natural. I did it for the Today Show, certainly, but I think it's I never was based in Washington or a White House correspondent. So I always felt like it was a little bit foreign to me, like I had to really study up and do that. But even I could just my very first day on MSNBC, I remember being on the desk at the time of the Middle East crisis. And there was, at that point in time, they were talking about a peace treaty. And in the hour that I was on the air, the peace treaty sort of blew up in everybody's face. So I had all of these between the NBC correspondents like Andrea Mitchell, I was talking to her, to interviewing, you know, the Palestinian head, to, I mean, it was crazy. I was like, all the people that I've, these people that I've never talked to before, and talking about something that seems so far away, but yet was so important, and having to make sense of it live on the air. And it was one of those things where I knew what I was doing, thank goodness, because I had, before that day on the air, I knew this is where it's leading and I've got to be prepared for anything. And I had studied up enough that it, by the time, you know, this crisis was sort of happening on the air, I think everybody was impressed. They were like, wow, like fly by the seat of your pants. And I'm like, yep, that's how we do it.
Well, and it's funny to hear you say that because I always associate you with like, and now on the news desk. So I associate you with all the hard news and all of that good stuff. What about an interview or a story you were most excited about? Or a concert. We'll throw those in the mix.
Oh, concerts. I know. Wow. I mean, come on. You know, I guess because, I mean, every week I'd be excited about something. I mean, I think, you know, that's the beauty of the Today Show, and that's what I love the most about it, was the variety act. I mean, you'd have Melissa McCarthy on the air one day, then you have Jennifer Lopez or Paula Abdul, or, you know, today was Paula Abdul, and it's, that doesn't, you don't even have time to prepare to be excited. I mean, it's just, I think probably one of my favorite concerts was Coldplay. That was a couple of years back for the Viva La Vida. Bruce Springsteen, not too long ago, too, was amazing.
Jersey.
Yes, and that was just surreal, you know. I mean, I'd been to a couple of his concerts, but having him there on the plaza was pretty amazing. Bon Jovi. God, there's just so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you moved right before Celine Dion was on the Today Show.
Oh, so I went, love that Celine.
That was my first Today Show concert that I ever went to. So.
Really?
Yeah. I one of my friends used to work here.
Yeah.
And she was one of the bookers for today. And I reached out and I was like, listen, I've been obsessed with Celine Dion since fifth grade. Tried to win tickets when I was in seventh grade.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was the first caller. I got through. I stayed up all night. I was the first caller. They were like, congratulations. You win Celine Dion tickets. We just need to make sure that you're 18. And I wasn't.
You couldn't lie.
Like,
you couldn't say, Mom.
I did. I was like, hang on, let me get my mom. And by the time I did, they were announced. So, like, very traumatizing childhood.
Oh, my goodness.
But then she was going to be here. And so I told my friend, I was like, listen, I know you're not at Today anymore, but, like, tell me what I need to know. And she was like, here's VIP passes. Like, go have a good time.
What's your favorite song of hers?
Oh, well, our wedding song.
Oh my,
was the Power of Love.
Fan. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I would say that like 95% of our wedding stuff was a compromise, but when it came to the first dance song, I was just like, it's Celine. And Brian was
it
like,
can be only.
Understood. So yeah, Power of Love, that's the way it is.
Nice.
My running mixes are very highly populated by Celine.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so I'll
be in
Vegas. I
didn't know you could run to Celine. I wouldn't exactly pick her for,
You can do anything to Celine.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
She's not going to get me to run my fastest time, though.
You'd be surprised. But, okay, so before we do talk about running, which I want to get into, you have a fairly new role now. When did you start at Access Hollywood? And tell me about deciding to make that move.
Yeah, Access started, let's see, July of last year. And then we went to Rio, the Olympics, and I did both Access and Today. So it was really one of these great opportunities in life, I think. You know, I had always talked about moving out west, and I kept, you know, my husband and I were always sort of yearning for the opportunity to have, you know, a little bit more for our kids in terms of a way of life outdoors. You know, we're big hikers and bikers and runners, of course. And so it was one of those things where, you know, I knew because Billy Bush was coming here to the Today Show, I knew some changes were happening, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. If they're thinking about, you know, they're going to need to replace their talent at Access. And I was like, well, Billy's coming here. Have you guys thought about a swap? And they're like, interesting. And they're like, we kind of like the sound of that. And then I also wanted to make sure that I was still, you know, keeping my feet in the Today Show as well. It's still important to me to do big, you know, stories and to also be out there. I think they felt they needed a presence out there too that they didn't quite have. So now I have the opportunity to do both. So it's been a blessing. It's been a journey. You know, I think my children are loving it though, and it's a new way of life for us all.
So how old are your kids?
13 and 8.
So that's a tough move. That's a tough age to move. How did they handle
grade,
the move?
Second grade. Yeah. You know, actually, I think it's the perfect time for a move.
Okay. Why is that?
Because seventh grade, like he got in just in time with a lot of new seventh graders. So, you know, before he's in high school, he has an opportunity to make those friends to get through high school. And also, I don't even think he realized, but I think he was ready for a change. He wouldn't have said he was. But I think at some point in their lives, whether it's changing schools or whatever, they need to shake up the system a little bit. They were born and raised in Hoboken, New Jersey. They'd lived there their entire lives. So I think they needed something different. And, you know, and the little one too. I mean, Luke, he loves, like absolutely loves LA life. Is just, you know, loves his school. They're both doing great. you know, straight A students and really good kids. And I'm just lucky. I mean, I think it comes with maybe my own military upbringing and, you know, being able to adjust to situations and making new friends. Well, you know, that was important for me to impart that on them as well. And, you know, I knew as long as we're together as a family and as strong as we are, it was like, we can get through this, a little move. It's going to, in the beginning, it may hurt a little bit, but then you're going to love it.
So as a hardworking mom,
yeah,
tell me about your lifestyle shift. What were your hours like when you were at Today? I assume not the most glamorous. And then what about now? And kind of how do you do it? I hate that question, but like, how do you make it all work?
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as balance. People always ask the balance question. It really it is. It's a day-by-day situation with me. It really is like, okay, today I've got to get out of work early, and if I'm lucky enough, I can make that happen to be at some school event, you know. But I think the key is prioritizing the day, you know. Okay, obviously I've got to go to work, and then I've got to spend time with my kids and make dinner and do all the fun stuff in between. That's my number one priority is them, but work has to happen too. So my day starts now at about 5. It's not that much later than when I was on the Today Show. I'd get up at 4:15. Now I'm getting up at 4:45. Woo, sleeping in.
Living the dream.
I am.
Luxury.
But it's nice. I like, you know, I like my drive in. I, you know, drive myself in and commute. So it's fun. Get to listen to my tunes and the Today Show radio, which I listen to all the time. And then I'm usually, it's a little bit of a later day. It's a little bit of a longer day at Access because then, you know, we're doing the night show also. So we do our morning live show. And then we do a nighttime show, and that ends. We tape that around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then we're done by like 2.
So, okay.
Yeah. So I'm on my way home, and I'm home in time for the kids.
Nice.
So normally at the Today Show, I'd be home at like, you know, 12 or 1.
And then where does running fit in?
Right after I get home, that's when my running starts. I wish I could say I can get up early and go run, but I can't get up any earlier to run.
You'd be running in the middle of the night.
Running in the dark, and that I do not do well.
Have to revisit that safety question.
No, exactly. No, I love. You know, that was a big thing for me. Was like, you got to find your running path or your running space. And living in Hoboken, as you know, living in, you know, not that far from where I lived, you've got that best stretch of the waterfront, mm-hmm. and really the best view of New York is from, you know, the other side in Hoboken, from West New York and or Edgewater. So I was doing that run a lot. And now I do in near where I live. I can run from my house down to Santa Monica in the ocean. It's like 4 miles, but then that's a long run, an 8 mile stretch. Or I can run over to a country club and do a loop around the country club and back to the house. It's about a 4 mile stretch. But I've got great running all around, and hiking and biking, and it's kind of nice having, you know, not to work out on a treadmill at all.
I
never get on a treadmill unless I'm in a hotel.
That's nice.
And even then it's torture.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
A treadmill minute is longer than any other minute.
Gosh, there's no worse pain.
So how did you get started running? Because you were moving all over the place.
Yeah.
How did you become Natalie the Runner and triathlete? I say runner, but you're also
Well, seasoned. I haven't done triathlons in a while. I'm hoping to get back now that I'm in LA. I would say running for me started between my senior year, really. It was that move. And running became sort of an outlet and therapy for me. Also, the school that I went to did not have, I used to be a volleyball player, soccer player, and in Madrid. But when I moved to my new school in Delaware, they didn't have a girls' volleyball team. They didn't have a girls' soccer team. There was very little in the way, unless it was field hockey or softball. And so for me, I needed to find a sport that I could run and just unleash. So I just started running on my own, just, you know, running a couple of miles, and it became longer than a couple of miles. And I just fell in love with it. It was therapy. And especially during that year, which was a pretty hard year, you know, when you're your senior year in high school and you're like, I don't know anyone, I don't have any friends. Running was like my way of figuring things out and finding out who I was. And then I got into, I guess in college, I mean, I just kept running as a way to stay in shape, to not gain the freshman 15. And then when I moved to New York, the very first year I was in New York, I was like 1994, I'm gonna say, I said, I'm gonna run the New York City Marathon next year. Because I, you know, lining up on First Street. I remember seeing all the runners come off, and it was so inspirational and motivating. And then I went to Central Park that first year, and I watched them come in. I was like, I'm going to do this next year. And so in 1995, I ran my very first marathon, New York City Marathon, followed that with another New York City in 96. And then we moved to Hartford. In Hartford, I did two marathons there. And then I did one more New York, and then Boston.
And that was going to be my next. Boston qualified. You're talking about like, oh yeah, you know, 8 miles, that would be a long run. But you Boston qualified. Like, you're a fast runner. 8 miles for you is less than an hour of running. So
I'm in shape.
Yes. Fair.
Yes.
But you Boston qualified while you were working at Today, correct?
Yes.
So what does that look like to go into work so early, to be on live television, prepare for segments? Mm-hmm. Were you motivated to go home and run, or
I'm motivated to go home and nap. But
exactly.
Honestly, no, that's the thing is, that's the option, you know. This was in between kids and stuff. I think it's either I go home and nap while my kids are at school, or I go home and I get my workout, my running in, and then they come home from school and then I have time with them. So if I take a nap during the day, I cannot get to sleep at night though. So for me, it's like, I better just go and exercise. So I managed to just get all my training runs in during that sweet part of the day. Although the hard thing is traveling, because I do travel a lot for work. So the good thing is with running, you can just pack your shoes anywhere. You can run anywhere. And I'm one of those people that, like, I love to see a city or a town through running, because I think that's the best way to really see what's going on.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so one thing I'm interested in, and this kind of plays into both the running and the television, is there pressure as a woman in media and a woman who is on television? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt any pressure related to your appearance?
I don't think anybody has ever said, like, oh, you should do this or do that. Thank goodness. You know, I think I work pretty hard at trying to look my best. You know, of course, I had, like, the bad hair, anchor hair, like a lot of people. I had really dark Courtney Cox black hair at one point. I think we all made some bad mistakes in our appearance over the years. But I've been fairly lucky that you know, I've never had anybody who it was just like, oh, maybe you should soften your hairdo or soften the color or something like that. But I've never had anybody say, you know, we need you to be a certain way or whatever. But I do remember, like, I guess when I was first starting out on the Today Show, I was probably at my thinnest. I was working so much and I was thin. And I remember, like, you know, I forget how it came up, but like somebody saying, oh, she's so skinny, like, and wondering if I had some kind of eating disorder, which I've never had. So, which I thought was weird, but I took it only as, well, I got a good metabolism now, but just wait, and sure enough.
And what about having kids? How does that factor into being someone in the media? Both, do you have to, like, plan accordingly in terms of when you're going to have your kids? Because I think of athletes, professional runners, who have to take that into consideration.
You know, I don't think I ever... With my first, I think there was a little bit of that. Like, I wanted to be at a certain point in my career where I knew then it'd be okay for me to, like, you know, take time off or maternity leave and all of that. So I wanted to be at a safe place in my career where I knew I was okay. So with the first. With the second, it took me so long to get pregnant and we had issues. So then it was like, whenever I get pregnant, it's going to be a blessing. So, but I do think... In our business, you do kind of try to time it between contracts or, you know, within a contract so that you are at least protected.
Smart.
You don't want to be out on maternity leave and, oh, job is gone.
Yeah. And your husband is also a runner, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, he started with me that first marathon in 95. We ran that together. So that was sort of from that point on, like, we started dating like that. Oh, have you guys done a marathon? As she looks at her husband across the room.
I convinced him. He's a cyclist.
Okay.
And so when we started dating, it was like, you know, I would go for my 3-hour runs. He'd go for his 3-hour bike rides. We'd have the best brunches ever afterward and just eat so much food and nap. And then I don't know what it was. He agreed to do a half marathon. Uh-huh. So he's done 2 half marathons, one with me, one on his own.
Yeah.
Didn't beat my PR, thank goodness.
It gets competitive, I will say. Yeah. My husband and I are very competitive to the point where we would sometimes train together. Like, we go to Central Park and do, like, our 3-loop long runs. And he'd always have to be, like, a foot or two in front of me. And I remember at one point, like getting, because I was like just trying to keep up with them the whole time and getting so frustrated. I'm like, why can't you just be either with me or even a little bit behind me? Why do you always have to be ahead of me? Oh, and yeah. Not even, you have to be like a foot or two ahead of me.
Well, the worst is when they're ahead and they turn around to check on you. I'm like, I'm here. Like, if you're going to be ahead of me, don't worry about it. Just go. Don't do that thing where every 2 seconds you look to see
where I am. I will say, though, our first three marathons, I was always the one that was like, you know, my husband was good, like, for the first 12 miles, and then he slowly would fall apart. And then by mile 19 and 20, the very first marathon we did together, he was, like, walking in Central Park. I'm like, you can't walk. We're right here. Like, the finish line is, like, 2 miles away. Like, come on. And at that point, he was like, quiet, woman.
You made it through.
Yes. Well, I pushed him through. And then I think, finally, the last marathon we did together, he was sort of kicking my butt, so we were kind of even.
All right, fair. Okay, so you're a very busy lady. Let us sprint to the finish.
Okay, let's sprint to the finish.
So these are our rapid fire questions, and this is where you get to pass your husband.
Okay, good.
See, imagine you're neck and neck.
I love it.
Get to take off.
Joe, goodbye.
What would your last meal on earth be?
Oh, spaghetti alla vongole. It's very specific.
It just sounds good when
it's
you say
the
it.
First, it's the last. It's yes. I just love, you know, little Manila clams and spaghetti. Oh, so good.
Okay, favorite movie.
I would say Casablanca. I've seen it like so many times, but I just love it.
Greatest fear.
Just discovered this recently. Scuba diving.
Did you have to do it?
We took our kids to Hawaii, and I already had sort of a fear of it. Just the idea of like breathing with a contraption and having to breathe through a tube just freaks me out. And I'm not great in the water, which would surprise you as a triathlete. But I think I'd prefer not knowing what I'm swimming with. I just keep going. But I was in training with my son to do it, and we did it in the pool fine. Then we got out to the ocean. And something about the ocean set this, I had like a panic attack. I couldn't breathe, even though I had the oxygen on. It was just a weird feeling. I had to come up.
Watch, your
like,
bookers are going to listen to this and be like, let's do a segment
like,
with Natalie.
Your fear factor. That is my worst fear, I will say. Like that and snakes, which of course, but snakes, everybody. But this, there's something about it. I guess my dad is a little claustrophobic, like in an MRI kind of situation. He freaks out. So maybe this is my thing. It just, we all have a thing, right?
Oh, hairless
cat.
That's
my thing. Yep. Hairless cat. Yeah. That's a good one.
What's your favorite place you've ever run?
Rome. All around. Yeah.
Down the lung over there.
Yes.
How would you describe yourself in three words?
I'd say, I never thought about that. I'd say adventurous, curious, and sassy.
Ooh, all great qualities for a reporter. I love those.
I hope so.
What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
Brush my teeth.
Last thing you do before you close your eyes at night?
Read.
Ooh, are you reading anything good right now?
The new Donna Tartt book, A Secret History.
Nice.
Yes.
What is your go-to breakfast?
Greek yogurt and a little green drink that I make, a little green blend.
Nice. Saturday long run or Sunday long run?
Saturday.
Where is somewhere you're dying to travel that you haven't been yet?
I want to go to Africa, and then I want to do a safari and so many places.
We did that for our honeymoon.
I saw the picture on your laptop.
Oh my gosh,
the elephants. That's my dream.
Yeah. Who was your childhood celebrity crush?
Probably Rick Schroeder. Yeah. Do you know who that is?
No.
Silver Spoon?
I'm just like smiling. I'm like,
you're like,
next question.
Uh-huh.
Most
Look
people say Jonathan
up.
Taylor Thomas, so I'm
I
like,
know.
You know.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm a little older than your crowd.
No, you're perfect.
Silver Spoons. Rick Schroeder. Look him up.
We'll include a photo in the show notes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Dang, I should have lied.
Or Jason Bateman, because he was on that show, too. He was on.
Don't you think he looks like him?
A little bit. She's pointing to her husband.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
do see it.
Yes.
The hair.
Okay.
The eyes.
So this brings us to our last
big
question.
Yes. Okay.
You're hosting a dinner party. You get to have five guests. Who's at your table?
Okay. So I'm going for irreverent humor and people who are going to make me laugh the whole night. So, Melissa McCarthy, since I just watched her on SNL. Will Ferrell, since he just did the incredible USC graduate. We all have crushes on him. I'm going to go with Oprah because just smart, always a great interviewer. Like, I feel like I can learn something from her. Then I'm going to go like a little, you need like a rock star quality to your dinner party too. So I'm going to go Sting, my all-time crush, and who also, like, I actually got to sing with him recently. So, yeah. So Sting, so that's four. I need one more. I need like a lifeline. Who's going to be my lifeline?
You can have your husband. You have to pick one of your kids.
I'm not having my husband there. Come on. I've got Sting, my crush. I've got Will Ferrell, my other crush. And we've got Oprah and Melissa McCarthy. So we've got two ladies. It'd be interesting, like a little old school. Like, it'd be kind of weird, sort of in a cosmic way, to have like Albert Einstein there. Just with that group, why not? Like, it would just be
curveball.
Plus, I hear he was a ladies' man, so I feel like he'd play
so
well.
So definitely no husband at
no
the party.
Husband.
I like it.
I feel
like
it'd
where
be
you're
a
going with
it. Fun, kind of smart mix with a little cosmic thing to it.
All right, last thing. Give me a reason to run today.
Reason to run today is to be your best self. It always makes me better. At the end of the day, I feel better about myself. I feel like I'm going to be better at whatever task I have coming up. It just allows me to focus.
I love that. And I will. Now
good.
I'm motivated.
Go run, people, run!
Thank you so much for doing this. Especially,
thank you,
it's so
Allie.
Fun to get to do this in person while you're
loved
in New York.
It. So fun. You're a natural at this.
Oh, thank you.
See?
In good company. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Fun. Thank you.
And that, my good friends, is Natalie Morales. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on the show. And to everyone out there listening, thank you for taking us with you on your run, your dog walk, your daily commute, or your trip to the grocery store. As always, you can find me on the run, walking my dog, or hitting up the grocery store at AllieOnTheRun1 on Twitter and Instagram, or on the brand new Allie on the Run Facebook page. Make sure you check that out, give it a like, and follow along. Then there's the blog, which you can find at AllieOnTheRunBlog.com. There are lots of ways these days to keep track of all things Allie on the Run, and let's be honest, lots and lots of puppy pictures. We didn't talk about it on this episode, but Natalie is a dog person, just so you know. She has a rescue dog named Zara, and Natalie told me she's her favorite running buddy, would probably get along famously with Ellie. If you enjoyed this episode, I would so love it if you would head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. That's how we get to keep growing this community and how we get to keep bringing on super cool Today Show hosts as guests. Thank you so much. Now enjoy your day, your week, your run, and your post-run shower, nap, or mimosa. And as always, thanks for joining me on the run.